Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Third down and 10 at the 13. Drops back, arches a pass down the near side. Broken up at the 5-yard line. Beautifully timed by Roby Coleman in the secondary on a pass down the near sideline. They were looking for Tommy Lee Lewis. And it's an incompletion with a collision literally at the time the ball was coming right between the two combatants down the near sideline at about the 5.
The ref said it was incomplete. Respect the call.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Jim Deopoulos, 11 years on the field, 12 years as a supervising official. And he joins us now. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing this morning?
Well, we're delighted to talk to you because we're hoping for a little direction here. You know, we talked about a number of things, not the least of which is the idea that there are reportedly 24 full-time officials out of 121 officials total. And I don't know, Jim, should guys be full-time? Do they want to be full-time? Is there concern with all that's going on in the league and everything that's happening that more full-time officials is the answer?
You know, I read so much about this, and it's not a magic fix by saying this individual's full-time or this individual is part-time. I can tell you the best officials in the National Football League over the last 25 years that I've been involved are full-time officials. It's, you know, we talk about they just work on weekends, but the good officials, the best officials are working this job 7 days a week during the football season, and they spend an awful lot of time. Just to say they're full-time, you know, I don't know what they would do full-time, because once the season starts, you know, the teams don't practice. I mean, they don't have live practices. There's a lot of walkthroughs. There's a lot of days off. They're very limited in their times. So the officials don't have a whole lot to do. So the ones that are really good, we'll be studying film during the week. We'll be working on their rules. And just to say they're full-time, I don't know if that's going to make a difference, if that's going to make them any better.
Jim, when you have such an egregious no-call as occurred in the NFC Championship game, what role does that controversy play in getting something like that in front of the Rules Committee to discuss changes in the review process, in the final 2 minutes as we discussed, maybe there's pass interference is reviewed, or maybe there's something else that gives a coach the opportunity to challenge a call that is that blatantly missed. Is that conceivable? Are you in favor of something like that?
Well, certainly when a call such as the one on Sunday in the Saints game with the Rams, you know, happens and there's so much media attention, so much national attention, you know, it had an outcome on the game. You know, did it decide the game? You know, that's for other people to figure out whether that was the deciding factor with so much that goes on during the game. But, you know, when you work in the league office and things like that happen, you've got to look at all the aspects of this thing. You know, now, you know, we can make a knee-jerk reaction and say right away, we've got to look at every call in replay. And, you know, that's not necessarily the answer to this. You know, you need to find out why this call was missed. And how do you correct this? Do you correct it just by saying, oh, we're going to start looking at replay? But, you know, replay is not 100% accurate all the time also. You know, I don't want to keep talking about the play on Sunday because it was an obvious miss. It should not have been missed. You have veteran officials on the field, guys that have qualified, guys that are at the top of their game, and why it was missed, I can't answer that question. But you had basically three officials that had really good looks at that could have stepped up and made that call. But, you know, just to say, well, let's put replay into it and we'll correct this. I wish it was that easy. And, you know, but again, there was that offside call in the Patriots game with the Chiefs. That was a game changing call. Would we replay a call like that? There's a holding call. There's a roughing the passer call. Do you replay every call that, you know, that you're not, you know, that someone's not agreeable with? So I don't know. It's a kind of a slippery slope we're going down. I wish, you know, we do have the technology to correct correctable errors, But where do you draw the line on when you do that?
You know, and I think the problem is, Jim, you know, we sit here and we're talking about, well, you got to review pass interference. You got to review it because that was such a blatant mistake. And then, you know, earlier in the game, there was a play that should have been a face mask penalty. If that face mask penalty, if that had happened in the final 2 minutes of the game, then do you have to review face mask penalties? I mean, where do you draw the line? Is pass interference something that is so egregious, or was that call just a blown call? And what are the unintended consequences of such a thing? Then you'd have plays throughout the game that you would want to review.
You know, that's a great point. You know, the pass interference call down in, you know, on the goal line on the quarter. I mean, it was really tight, and I can understand them missing it. But now are we going to you know, call up to the replay booth and have the replay official, you know, buzz down and say, you know, throw the flag for you know, a face mask? And you know, you have a situation with those, that in that sense that, you know, the game is still played by individuals. It's played and officiated by individuals. Mistakes are going to be made. I mean, it's just, it's the nature of the game. Coaches make mistakes. Players make mistakes. And gosh, you know, officials make mistakes. It's not a perfect game. And for some reason, everybody wants this to be a perfect game. And it, you know, you try, as an official, you try your best to, you know, to work and make it a level playing field. But there are misses out there. I mean, there are misses. And at some point, how do we, you know, how do we change that? Do we try to get the officials better? Do we work with them to, you know, train them? And, you know, but they look at films. And as I said earlier, the good ones are always watching film. They're studying the game. But sometimes things happen so quickly. And, you know, you like to have that TV camera up there to help you out once in a while. But I don't know. It's a tough situation. But that's what these guys have chosen the field. They want to be officials. And, you know, And they do a good job. But again, as I said, they make mistakes.
And when they make mistakes, Jim, we learn their names. And the scrutiny is, I imagine it has to be difficult to deal with and cope with on a regular basis for regular guys. You know, so a couple of things. Why would anybody want to do this? Why would anybody want to be an NFL official? And what role does, moving forward, how hard is it going to be to get guys to want to do this, given everything that they're entering in, especially with now legalization of gambling and sports gambling, is going to create even more scrutiny and maybe even more questions about the integrity of the crews that officiate games?
You know, it's you set a goal. And to be really quite honest, when I started out, I did it so, you know, because I was in graduate school and I had a young family, and I did it so I didn't have to sack groceries at the local, you know, grocery store. And I did it as a, you know, kind of an avocation. And, you know, but it gets in your blood. It's a way to stay close to the game. And when you get to the National Football League, it's like hitting the lottery. It's a very lucrative position for individuals to officiate in the National Football League, both financially and personally. I mean, you set goals, you know, when you start out working and you know, with young football players and peewee games and high school games, and you set goals, you know, you always want to try to reach the ultimate goal, which is the National Football League. So it gets in your blood. It's a great avocation, that it becomes a vocation, and you know, you put so much time and effort into it. But it's unless you've been on the field blowing the whistle with a you know, with the stripes on, you really can't know what the feeling is like out there.
Will the gambling change the perception at all?
It shouldn't. I don't think it will. You know, as I said, the it's never been an issue with officials in the National Football League. I don't think it ever will be. There's a constant checks and balances with them. There's constant investigations, and they keep an eye on these on them. And as I said, they're very well compensated, you know, on a per game basis. So you know, you. I think it would be too obvious if officials were trying to have any influence on the outcome of the game.
Jim, we'll let you go. Just out of curiosity, where do you stand on this idea that there is some sort of bias going on with New England? It seems like you've got a coach there who's obsessed with the rule book, and they discipline their players. They also will study every obscure penalty around the league. Is there bias, or are they just so far ahead of the bar with some of the rules that it's hard to make calls against them sometimes?
In all my experiences working with coaches and teams over the years, I had the opportunity to go in and we give little rules clinics, etc. Absolutely, the number one team and coach in the league was the Patriots and Belichick on rules knowledge, wanting to know exactly what is being done, and probably they have the best working knowledge of the rule book. They know what the rules are. They know what needs to be called. They know how the officials, what the philosophy is. They spend a lot of time doing that. So, you know, they've always just done a really good job at it. I don't think they, do they push the envelope? Every team pushes the envelope, but for some reason the Patriots understand, you know, how far to the edge they can go, and they understand the rules and how they're going to be interpreted on the field.
Thanks so much, Jim. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Great being with you guys. Have a great day.
All righty. That is Jim Deopoulos.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.